This morning on WCHL, the May primaries are just more than a month away, and with some races without a Republican contender, a large number of party affiliation change may be underway.
It's mostly Republicans, and I think what they're looking at is the opportunity to vote within the Democratic Party.
Longtime UNC faculty member Jan Boxall's term as faculty chair is nearing its end, and two people have said they want to take the role that has led the faculty through some very tumultuous times as of late. And the Title IX Task Force may soon release a report on a newly formed sexual assault policy.
I know some people wish that that report would come forward.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, the Final Four is on the line tonight. The Tar Heel women's basketball team. But there's a mountain in front of them. They have to play Stanford on its home court. Plus, UNC baseball needs a slump-snapping midweek win tonight against UNC Wilmington. And
the Tar Heel women are our last hope. No fooling.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL, it is 46 degrees in Chapel Hill. Partly sunny today, high today in the middle 70s, and even warmer tomorrow. Tomorrow will climb up into the middle 80s. Whoever wins the race for Orange County Sheriff in the May primary could face an unexpected challenger in the fall. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Six men are vying to be Orange County's next sheriff, and with no Republican challenger, most assume the contest will be decided in the Democratic primary next month. But a grassroots campaign to get a write-in candidate on the ballot in November is drawing attention countywide.
I think Ellie would make a great sheriff. I think she would bring to Orange County law enforcement the same kind of, you know, tough but fair-minded attitude she brought both to Carrboro and to the General Assembly.
That's Commissioner Mark Dorson, responding to word that some are trying to draft former Carrboro Mayor and North Carolina State Senator Ellie Kinnaird for the job as Orange County Sheriff. Dorson says Kinnaird would likely bring significant changes to the department.
The quality of the food served in the jail would improve. Everything that's served would be organic and from the Carrboro Farmers Market, as well as I think you'd see the sheriff's vehicles all switch to biodiesel and the prison buses run on natural gas.
After 8.5 terms in the General Assembly, Kinnaird stepped down from the state Senate last year to pursue voter outreach efforts. But supporters say they want to see Kinnaird take a more hands-on approach to bringing justice to Orange County. They're mounting a campaign to collect enough signatures from registered voters to get Kinnaird's name on the ballot as a write-in candidate in November. It's not clear that Kinnaird herself has endorsed this campaign. She couldn't be reached for comment on the story. Kinnaird has no law enforcement experience, but she holds a law degree and has served on the Joint Legislative Oversight Committee on Justice and Public Safety. During her time in the General Assembly, she gained a reputation as a tough negotiator, an attitude Dorson says would serve her well as sheriff.
I think that you'd see a strong reduction in crime with Ellie as sheriff. She will take no nonsense.
WCHL will have more on this story as it develops. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
As the May 6th primary approaches, there's movement afoot among some registered Orange County voters. WCHL's Danny Hooley has details.
Back in November 2013, there were 17,500 Republicans registered in Orange County. Today, there are 17,473. There were 52,400 Democrats registered back then, and now there are 52,318. And while there were 34,900 unaffiliated Orange County voters late last year, now there are 35,430. You may have noticed that only one of those classifications is seeing any growth. Orange County Board of Elections Director Tracy Reams, who supplied the new numbers to WCHL on March 31st, said she's noticed some things about people switching their registrations to unaffiliated lately.
It's mostly Republicans, and I think, you know, what they're looking at is the opportunity to vote within the Democratic Party to vote for the sheriff's race. That's what we're hearing when they come in.
It's fairly easy to do. If a Republican would like to vote in a Democratic primary race, they would need to either register as a Democrat or as an unaffiliated voter. The deadline to change party affiliation is Friday, April 11. Voters who'd like to change back to their old party affiliation after May 6 have until October 17 to do so. There's a reason Republicans have special interest in voting for a Democratic candidate on May 6. Whoever wins the six-way Democratic primary race for Orange County Sheriff will have the job. That's because there are no Republicans running. Andy Cagle, the owner of Cagle's Corner Grading, Hauling, and Septic Systems in Eflin, is one of the candidates.
I think the sheriff's race should be a nonpartisan race because the sheriff has to serve as a nonpartisan.
In recent years, Cagle changed his own party affiliation from Republican to Democrat. Another candidate, Hillsborough police veteran Buddy Parker, did the same thing. Here's what Parker had to say about that back in February.
It has nothing to do with the race. It's a personal decision that I made, and I'd like to leave it at that.
That may well be in both cases, but one Democratic opponent, retired Orange County Sheriff's Major of Operations Charles Blackwood, pointed out a reality that he thinks is well embedded in Orange County politics.
I can only tell you what history has proven, and that is over the years it was difficult, if not impossible, for a Republican to carry that office.
While stopping short of calling for a nonpartisan sheriff's race, Blackwood agrees with Cagle that political affiliation has nothing to do with the job of sheriff. He also told WCHL that he's confident about Republican support for his candidacy. Blackwood recently posted on his Facebook page some words of encouragement for Republican voters to change affiliation for the May 6 primary. For more on this story, you can find it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The inmate who escaped a low-security Orange County correctional facility on Monday evening returned within about 5 hours, according to the North Carolina Department of Public Safety. 40-year-old Kenneth Lussier is serving 12 to 15 years for habitual felony, larceny, and felony breaking and entering. He was on an outside work assignment in Hillsborough when he walked away at about 6:30 p.m. yesterday. He surrendered to officials at about 11:30 p.m. DPS officials say Lussier will face additional charges related to his escape. Tonight at 6 o'clock, Orange County residents will get another opportunity to present their views to the Board of Commissioners about a proposed solid waste service tax district for recycling pickup. Tonight's meeting will be the second of two scheduled public hearings to address the issue. The proposed tax district would replace the annual $38 rural 2R fee that was discontinued after 2012. The fee had been added to property tax bills for 8 years. In 2012, legal concerns about the fee forced Orange County to come up with new ideas. Last year, interim funding for recycling was provided from landfill reserves. The Board of Commissioners will soon decide whether there's enough public support and participation to justify creating a service district for unincorporated areas. It would mean that residents would be taxed 1.5 cents per every $100 of assessed land value for biweekly curbside pickup. The Orange County Solid Waste Management Department has recommended that commissioners make a final decision by April 15th. The Orange County Board of Commissioners meets tonight at 6 o'clock at the Department of Social Services located at Hillsborough Commons. UNC Chancellor Carol Folt said Friday that she anticipates having a report from the university's Title IX Task Force by the next faculty council meeting, which happens on April 25th. WCHL's Rachel Nash has details.
I think we're all waiting for the report from the task force, and I know some people wish that that report would come forward.
That's Chancellor Folt. The task force has been working since May of 2013 to rewrite UNC's sexual assault policy. The tentative goal was to have had their recommendations ready by fall of last year. Christy Hurt, chair of the task force, who also served as the Title IX coordinator for an interim period, has said that the group is regularly re-examining their work and ideas on sensitive issues. Once a draft is completed, it will be presented for campus community feedback and then will go before administration for final review. The task force was formed in response to changing federal Title IX requirements for universities and also because of incidents on UNC's own campus that prompted the need for change. Folt, who spoke during Friday's faculty council meeting, said she applauded the extent to which the task force is, quote, trying to get it right.
We believe that a number of the ideas that are being put forth by our task force are already anticipating or would be the ones that would be the guidelines for some of that federal attention.
In January, President Barack Obama announced the creation of a national task force to combat sexual assault, particularly at the college level. The same month, Folt traveled to the White House to participate in policy discussions on a number of topics. During the trip, she spoke with the President and Vice President Joe Biden about policies regarding sexual assault on college campuses.
There is a great deal of interest built on concern that sexual violence has reached epidemic proportions in our nation's universities.
A number of representatives from UNC have participated in the ongoing national conversation. UNC graduate student Katie Atkin, a member of the UNC Title IX Task Force, was invited to sit at the table next to the vice president in February during a discussion on sexual assault. She offered several recommendations for Biden's consideration. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And UNC faculty members will elect a new chair of the faculty in April to succeed Jan Boxall, who has served in that position during some of the most challenging times in the history of the university. Considering the current climate at UNC with ongoing investigations and reviews into past scandals, faculty governance has become increasingly important. Two veteran faculty members, Bruce Cairns and Andrew Perrin, are running for the leadership post. The two candidates shared their platforms during the March 28th faculty council meeting and were introduced by Boxall, who was elected to the position in July of 2011 and will hold it through June 30th this year. Cairns is a John Stackhouse Distinguished Professor of Surgery and Director of the North Carolina J.C. Burn Center, with a joint appointment in the Department of Microbiology and Immunology. If elected, he said he would work to keep faculty better informed about developments impacting the university.
I think that the goal of the faculty chair is to create a supportive environment and to use the faculty governance structure that we've developed here. It's one of the strongest in the nation. And then make sure that when a problem arises, we can respond to it quickly, we get the information out, and that we create an inclusive environment that no matter what your status is, your appointment, your minute, that we can all work together to really move forward in the 21st century.
Andrew Perrin is the Associate Chair of the Department of Sociology and Director of Carolina Seminars. His research and teaching focuses on the sociology of democracy and relationships between culture and health. Perrin has served on numerous faculty committees dealing with issues ranging from athletics to student conduct.
I have a style of leadership that I hope colleagues from all of these activities will recognize. My style is to try to listen fully to everyone involved, and particularly to seek feedback from people who might not otherwise have feedback into a process. Then to weigh the concerns and ideas that come up against really core principles of what we believe in at this university, and to make real and substantive progress toward implementing those principles in meaningful reform.
A candidate forum will be held tomorrow at the Campus Wise and Queen Faculty Commons from 9:30 until 11 a.m. The faculty elections will be held April 14th through 21st by electronic ballot emailed to all eligible faculty members. WCHL News Time, 7:18. Time now for traffic and weather together. Coming up, we'll tell you about the Carolina women's basketball team, a chance to go to the Final Four if the Tar Heels can just get a win tonight. Right now, time for traffic on WCHL, brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh brewed coffee fast. It's guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go. Now with your latest traffic information, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic moving smoothly right now. That is good news. I-40, 15501, NC-54 in the Durham Freeway, as well as MLK, Estes Drive, and Franklin Street. Not reporting any accidents or delays right now. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover of Weather, presented by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. And the brand new cornbread sandwiches, spicy chicken and sweet southern pulled pork. Eat in or call ahead for takeout. Dickey's Barbecue Pit is in Durham next to New Hope Commons. It is 46 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Temperatures fluctuating a little bit this morning between 45 and 48. Partly sunny today. Hot today in the middle 70s. Really nice day on the way. Pretty much like yesterday. Tonight clear with a low in the upper 40s. And then tomorrow we're looking at sunshine with a high in the low 80s. Tomorrow night, it'll get down to about 52 with partly cloudy skies. And then on Thursday, again, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. Good weather for the next few days here.
It's just as important as a good cup of coffee. Start your day with the only radio station that brings you local news about local people right here in our local community. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, once again, here's Ron Stutz.
President Barack Obama has declared a major disaster in North Carolina for damage caused by the winter storm in 9 counties early in March. The president signed the declaration yesterday for the following counties: Alamance, Caswell, Davidson, Davie, Granville, Guilford, Orange, Person, and Randolph. It orders that federal aid supplement state and local recovery efforts in the area affected by the winter storm on March 6th and 7th. Federal funding is available to state and eligible local governments and certain private nonprofit organizations on a cost-sharing basis for emergency work and the repair or replacement of facilities damaged by the storm. Federal funding is also available on a cost-sharing sharing basis for hazard mitigation measures statewide. Officials with FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, say additional designations may be made at a later date. But again, that is a 9-county area declared a disaster, a major disaster by the president. That includes Orange, Alamance, Caswell, Davidson, Davie, Granville, Guilford, Person, and Randolph counties. A last-minute rush to sign up for health care insurance. Government officials say more than 7 million Americans likely signed up for health care under the new health care law. Deadline was midnight last night. The last-minute rush before last night's deadline was a headache for some. Down in Louisiana, for example, some callers waited up to 2 hours. A lot of people trying to get in. In California, there were so many customers that the state exchange had to switch off a key function on its website and get people to finish their applications later. 722 at WCHL. Time for WCHL's championship sports. Mighty big basketball game on the horizon for tonight, and it's way out west. Fourth-seeded North Carolina women's basketball team, 27-9 on the season, faces a true road test tonight at 9 o'clock. The Tar Heels take on the second seed and veteran-laden Stanford Cardinal, a very strong team. They're 32-3 on the year, and they're playing on their home court. Carolina has to beat Stanford in order to get to the Final Four, which will take place in Nashville. WCHL's Matt Oakes has this report.
The Tar Heels feature a bevy of talented freshmen that have been saying they don't want to wait for their turn at NCAA tournament glory. Meanwhile, the Cardinal find themselves at the other end of the spectrum. Veterans with loads of Final Four experience blanket Stanford's lineup. The leading freshman in the nation, Carolina's Diamond DeShields, says the Tar Heels will have to contain Stanford's star, Shanae Ajumake, a fifth-year senior, in order to harbor any chance of a victory.
You got to pay attention to Shanae down low. I had the opportunity to play with her on a USA basketball team, so it'll be nice to reunite, I guess you could say, on opposite teams. But you got to just focus. She's the focal point in their offense and in their defense. So we're definitely going to do some things and figure some things out, how to get around her and how to find a weakness in their defense.
DeShields goes into Tuesday's game as a game-time decision following the knee and ankle injuries she sustained in the physical Sweet 16 contest with rival South Carolina. But if precedent is any indication, seeing the tough-minded competitor on the sidelines in the biggest game of the year would be a shocker. Just take Sunday's game as an indicator.
Coach wanted to sit me for the half, and like I told him that, you know, I was ready to play, and I didn't want to have that burden on my shoulders of, you know, not having had done everything that I could to contribute to the team win. And I think that I didn't hold the team back with my injuries. I think that I was still a contributor and I was still able to produce.
DeShields acknowledges the rapid development and maturation of the Tar Heels throughout the season. She says she sees improvement in each and every round now of postseason play.
We've grown faster as time has gone on. You know, in the beginning it was a little bit slow. We were making typical freshman mistakes, I guess you could say. And at this point in the game, we're growing every day. Two times faster, three times faster than we were yesterday. So I feel like I can't name a specific point, but I do know that as time goes on, as we continue on in this tournament, we are growing a lot faster, only because we have to.
Associate head coach Andrew Calder points to a single moment when he believes his young crop really gained the needed belief they could compete at the highest level.
Well, I think when we went to Duke and won at Duke, and Diamond DeShields and Alicia Gray had tremendous games, I thought that was a big turning point for them to realize we can beat anybody. There are 8,000 people at Duke.
Freshman Stephanie Mavunga says although not present with the team in California, head coach Sylvia Hatchell's encouragement from afar puts a smile on her face.
Just things like that just make me smile and, you know, get me motivated. Like, I know she's going to be able to be at the Final Four game in Nashville if we get there. And so, God willing, we'll get there. And so, you know, that keeps us going. And before we left, she kept saying, well, Nashville, there's the Final Four, you know, there's the Elite Eight, there's all these games. Why not us? Why not us? Why not Carolina? And so that always plays back in my head.
Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Well, I tell you, these young players are something else. Carolina going for a berth in the Final Four. Tar Heels play Stanford tonight, 9 o'clock on Stanford's home court, NCAA tournament. And let's hope Carolina can get that win, because that means they're in the Final Four in Nashville, which will come up next week. You'll hear it on WCHL tonight. In case you're wondering, Kimba Walker and Al Jefferson each had a double-double. Charlotte Bobcats rallied from 11 points down in the fourth quarter last night, defeating Washington 100-94. And Clemson, the North Carolina baseball team, now 15-12 on the season after six straight losses, will be playing UNC Wilmington later today, 6 p.m. UNC Wilmington comes in at 12-13, that game taking place in Bosheimer Stadium. Tar Heels are swept for the first time since 2010 with three losses last weekend to Duke. UNCW is coming off a split of a couple of games at James Madison. Carolina is 55-13 all time in the series with UNCW, including a 16-4 mark under head coach Mike Fox. Last season, Coach Fox recorded career victory number 1,200 against the Seahawks. Most important, Tar Heels just hope to get back into the win column and get a little momentum before a big ACC series coming up this weekend against Boston College. 7:26, that's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. Good luck to the Carolina women. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The Tar Heel women are our last hope. No fooling. This is Art Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. If you had told me that on April Fool's Day, the only basketball team still playing in the NCAA tournament from the Triangle and the state would be the Carolina women, well, I would have said April Fool's. Not that the UNC women don't deserve it. In fact, they are one of the best stories of the entire season, right up there with Larry Brown's SMU team that's in the NIT Final Four, Wichita State's undefeated run to the NCAAs, and of course Virginia coming out of nowhere to win both the ACC regular season and tourney. But come on, people, this was the first time in 35 years since Black Sunday in 1979 that a team from North Carolina did not reach the Sweet 16. The first time since old Roy's been back that his team missed it for two straight years. It's also the second time in 3 years that Duke lost to a double-digit seed in the first NCAA tournament game, and the fourth straight year that no ACC team is playing on the last weekend of the season. Even the Duke and State women did not make it out of their second round of the dance. But the Tar Heels keep winning for recovering coach Sylvia Hatchell, who vows to be on the bench if they can beat Stanford tonight and reach the Final Four for the first time since assistant coach Ivory Latta led them there for two straight years. I think I'm right about that. The big question is whether all-everything freshman Diamond DeShields will play after aggravating her sprained ankle in the win over South Carolina in the Sweet 16. Imagine that, the two Carolinas having to travel clear across the country to play. Now the Heels have the ultimate road game against number 2 seed Stanford on the Cardinals' home floor with the capacity crowd roaring. Associate head coach Andrew Calder has done a great job handling the team with the specter of Hatchell's illness hanging over the Lady Heels. Now if they can just pull out one more magic trick, Calder will happily slide down a seat and let Sylvia retake the big chair. What a story that would be in Nashville, where someone would probably write a country song about it. How about, we like it, we love it, we want some more of it. Let's go, you Diamond Heels. Make all of the otherwise local losers proud. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Perry locked himself out of his car. Should he A, call his amateur wrestler friend with fists of steel, or B, get roadside assistance from the Geico mobile app? The correct answer is B. The Geico mobile app uses GPS, so Perry can get roadside assistance quickly without saying a word. It's like telepathy. Perry's steel-fisted friend would dent up the door and break stuff. Geico's mobile app is speedy and makes it easy for Perry to get roadside assistance with the tap of his finger.
Geico. Wherever, whenever. Just a click away with our free mobile app.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Heather James Massage Therapist. It's half off. A $70 massage, available now for $35. Heather James is a certified massage therapist, and it's her goal to make the highest quality massage as accessible and convenient as possible. Choose from many options, including Swedish, deep tissue, hot stone, and many more. Treat yourself to a massage or gift one for mom this Mother's Day. It's half off from Heather James Massage Therapist. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
It's 7:30 at WCHL. Time for your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, brought to you by Season Gardening, downtown Carborough. Grow organic this spring with the area's widest selection of organic vegetable starts, seeds, soils, and fertilizer. Fifth Season, not your garden variety gardening store. It is 47 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 46 in Carborough, where it's always a degree cooler. Partly sunny today, high today about 75. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, sunny skies with a high up in the low 80s. Believe it or not, even warmer than today. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. And then on Thursday, partly sunny with a high about 78 or 79 degrees. Thursday night, more clouds with a low in the middle 50s. And then on Friday, cloudy, slight chance of rain all day, and the high around 80 degrees. Actually, pretty good weather for the next few days here.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM, WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Faulty GM ignition switches led to 13 deaths and to 2.6 million recalled vehicles. General Motors CEO Mary Barra will appear today before the House Oversight Committee. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert covers the car industry.
Barra plans to apologize and promise her company will not shrink from its responsibilities. Her written statement is light on specifics, but includes a promise to find out exactly what happened. Meanwhile, National Highway Traffic Safety Administrator David Friedman blames GM for not giving his agency enough information.
Car industry analyst Jessica Caldwell with Edmunds.com has some questions for federal safety officials. They say they were never told that vehicle airbags would fail to deploy when ignition switches suddenly turned off.
Why didn't you take a harder stance? You understaffed, you not have enough people to look through these complaints, and why did you not issue a recall or force GM into a recall situation?
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
46 degrees, 732 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. Whoever wins the race for Orange County Sheriff in the May primary could face an unexpected challenger this fall. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Six men are vying to be Orange County's next sheriff, and with no Republican challenger, most assume the contest will be decided in the Democratic primary next month. But a grassroots campaign to get a write-in candidate on the ballot in November is drawing attention countywide.
I think Ellie would make a great sheriff. I think she would bring to Orange County law enforcement the same kind of, you know, tough but fair-minded attitude she brought both to Carrboro and to the General Assembly.
That's Commissioner Mark Dorson, responding to word that some are trying to draft former Carrboro Mayor and North Carolina State Senator Ellie Kinnaird for the job as Orange County Sheriff. Dorson says Kinnaird would likely bring significant changes to the department.
The quality of the food served in the jail would improve. Everything that's served would be organic and from the Carrboro Farmers Market, as well as I think you'd see the sheriff's vehicles all switch to biodiesel and the prison buses run on natural gas.
After 8.5 terms in the General Assembly, Kinnaird stepped down from the state Senate last year to pursue voter outreach efforts. But supporters say they want to see Kinnaird take a more hands-on approach to bringing justice to Orange County. They're mounting a campaign to collect enough signatures from registered voters to get Kinnaird's name on the ballot as a write-in candidate in November. It's not clear that Kinnaird herself has endorsed this campaign. She couldn't be reached for comment on the story. Kinnaird has no law enforcement experience, but she holds a law degree and has served on the Joint Legislative Oversight Committee on Justice and Public Safety. During her time in the General Assembly, she gained a reputation as a tough negotiator, an attitude Dorson says would serve her well as sheriff.
I think that you'd see a strong reduction in crime with Ellie as sheriff. She, you know, she will take no nonsense.
WCHL will have more on this story as it develops. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
The inmate who escaped a low-security Orange County Correctional Facility on Monday evening returned within about 5 hours, according to the North Carolina Department of Public Safety. 40-year-old Kenneth Lussier is serving 12 to 15 years for habitual felony, larceny, and felony breaking and entering. He was on an outside work assignment in Hillsboro when he walked away at about 6:30 p.m. He surrendered to officials at about 11:30 last night. Department of Public Safety officials say Lussier will face additional charges related to the escape. UNC Chancellor Carol Folt said last Friday that she anticipates having a report from the university's Title IX Task Force by the next Faculty Council meeting, which is on April 25th. WCHL's Rachel Nash has details.
I think we're all waiting for the report from the task force, and I know some people wish that that report would come forward.
That's Chancellor Folt. The task force has been working since May of 2013 to rewrite UNC's sexual assault policy. The tentative goal was to have had their recommendations ready by fall of last year. Christy Hurt, chair of the task force, who also served as the Title IX coordinator for an interim period, has said that the group is regularly re-examining their work and ideas on sensitive issues. Once a draft is completed, it will be presented for campus community feedback and then will go before administration for final review. The task force was formed in response to changing federal Title IX requirements for universities and also because of incidents on UNC's own campus that prompted the need for change. Folt, who spoke during Friday's faculty council meeting, said she applauded the extent to which the task force is, quote, trying to get it right.
We believe that a number of the ideas that are being put forth by our task force are already anticipating or would be the ones that would be the guidelines for some of that federal attention.
In January, President Barack Obama announced the creation of a national task force to combat sexual assault, particularly at the college level. The same month, Folt traveled to the White House to participate in policy discussions on a number of topics. During the trip, she spoke with the President and Vice President Joe Biden about policies regarding sexual assault on college campuses.
There is a great deal of interest built on concern that sexual violence has reached epidemic proportions in our nation's universities.
A number of representatives from UNC have participated in the ongoing national conversation. UNC graduate student Katie Atkin, a member of the UNC Title IX Task Force, was invited to sit at the table next to the vice president in February during a discussion on sexual assault. She offered several recommendations for Biden's consideration. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
North Carolina's Attorney General says the number of domestic violence murders in our state dropped by 14 in 2013 to 108. Attorney General Roy Cooper says Guilford County reported 11 domestic violence murders last year, the highest in the state, followed by Mecklenburg County with 9. Wake and Buncombe counties each reported 8 domestic violence murders. Durham County reported 6. Harnett County had 5. 62 victims were female, 46 were male. The murders committed by 88 men and 27 women. Cooper says in a news release that 5 of the victims had taken out protective orders, and 3 of those were current when the victims were murdered. One offender was reported to be on pretrial release for a domestic violence crime when the victim was killed. Tonight at 6 o'clock, Orange County residents will get another opportunity to present their views to the Board of Commissioners about a proposed solid waste service tax district for recycling pickup. Tonight's meeting will be the second of 2 scheduled public hearings to address this issue. The proposed tax district would replace the annual $38 rural 2R fee that was discontinued after 2012. The fee had been added to property tax bills for 8 years. In 2012, legal concerns about the fee forced Orange County to come up with some new ideas. Last year, interim funding for recycling was provided from landfill reserves. The Board of Commissioners will soon decide whether there's enough public support and participation to justify creating a service district for unincorporated areas. It would mean that residents would be taxed 1.5 cents for every $100 of assessed property value for biweekly curbside pickup. The Orange County Solid Waste Management Department has recommended that commissioners make a final decision by April 15th. The Orange County Board of Commissioners will meet tonight at 6 at the Department of Social Services, located at Hillsborough Commons. And now, news around town this morning. Orange County has hired a new director of human resources, Brenda Bartholomew. Bartholomew comes from Kingston, New York. She's been with the Ulster County Personnel Department for the last 13 years, and she will start in her new position in Orange County on May 12th. And today, the Keenan Music Building on campus will play host to a screening of the film Take Back Your Power, a documentary opposing the installation of smart meters in homes. The film will screen at 7 o'clock tonight in Classroom 2131 of the Keenan Music Building. That is the Keenan Music Building, Classroom 2131, with a discussion to follow featuring Josh Hart of the website stopsmartmeters.org. WCHL News Time, 7:39. It is going to be a beautiful day. Partly sunny skies, high today in the middle 70s. I love it. Yesterday was absolutely terrific. Just wanted to go outside and just stay out there all day yesterday. And I know that you probably did too. Last night was really nice too until it cooled down a little bit. And it was it's really pretty good weather here for the next few days.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Have a chance of rain looming for the weekend, but it's not like the usual thing that we've been getting. We've been getting like 90% chance and 100% chance and all this kind of stuff. This is more like 20% for the weekend. So,
yeah.
Hey, well, sounds pretty good.
Randy and I were out. We did our last tour of potential houses or potential living quarters,
mm-hmm.
apartments and townhomes and things like that.
Got some good choices.
Beautiful day to do it. Certainly do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So
Well, just remember, I'm not sure exactly when you're moving, but I'm out of town.
Yeah, I seem to be getting that from a lot of folks right now.
Man, I've helped so many people move over the years.
Oh, I bet.
And I've had other people, you know, help me too. But there was a period in my life about, I guess, probably 6 years where I must have been involved, you know, 24 times in moving, you know.
Sure.
I moved enough furniture and stuff in my life.
Yeah, well.
To last me for the rest of it.
Randy and I have been together 3-ish years now.
Yeah.
Married almost a year next month.
Yeah.
And
that's hard to believe.
We lived in 3 different places, I think, now.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's we've moved quite a bit in that short period of time, too. And every time we say, we're just like, no, you know what, next time we're just going to pay a moving company to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
It's a task, you know.
Ideally, that's what you can do, although, you know, it's expensive.
It
you
is.
You don't have the money to do it.
Exactly.
You end up doing it yourself.
Yeah, we'll end up doing it ourselves and pay some friends to come help out. So.
Or
buy them lunch.
A case of beer or something.
That's right, exactly.
That's pretty cheap, actually. Well, what's happening at chapelbro.com today?
Well, I want to give a lot of attention to the UNC women's basketball team, as you've been doing all morning.
Yeah.
They are certainly deserving of it and have done a great job all season long. Right now, UConn awaits UNC or Stanford. That game is tonight at 9 o'clock, and of course you can hear it right here on WCHO. Walter Storholt with the call from the left coast. Also, Notre Dame awaits Maryland or Louisville.
Yeah.
So, if you look at it, Notre Dame, UNC possibly, Maryland or Louisville, you could see 3 out of 4 ACC teams.
That's true.
You could see 3 out of 4 possible ACC teams or future ACC teams, because Louisville, if Louisville were to take down Maryland, that would be a possibility as well. So, great for the ACC.
Yeah.
Very much unlike the men's side, where the ACC is not being
Shout
represented
out.
At all. But that would be great to see. And certainly cheering on the ladies tonight as they take on Stanford at Stanford. Will be a tough matchup. And again, UConn waiting in the wings for Carolina.
That's
in Nashville.
That's a tough assignment, having to play Stanford on its home court.
Right.
But at least, man, I would not be feeling very hopeful at all if we were playing Connecticut on its home court.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, nobody wants to play them.
Right.
But, you know, I think we can beat Stanford. I heard Walter Storholt say that yesterday when he was talking to Aaron Keck. He said, we got to play our best game of the year, but we can do it.
Well, Stanford's the number 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina was the number 1 seed.
Exactly.
So Carolina has already taken down the tougher opponent as far as the rankings are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
That's that whole deciding of the regionals and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, why would South Carolina not get it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I do know that a lot of it comes down to how many people they get at their venues. But at the same time, UConn didn't get the regional.
Yeah,
the regional there was in Lincoln.
It just seems really kind of unfair.
You know,
the way
really
it all works out.
Weird. But I think they're also predetermined.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's part of what it comes down to. So it's not, you know, they're already determined to be going to Lincoln, Stanford, and the other places that they went. So
what
I'm sure that's
what
it is.
Down to. I'm sorry, I just had
song is.
Alanis Morissette run through my head.
Yes. Thank you very much. Of course I do know that song. Well, we've got that on our website. Hoop It Up with the Heels is covering basketball throughout the rest of the season, and we hope that there will be 3 more games, including tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find out much more. We've got calendar page with all the great events going on in and around Chapelboro. We've got great photo galleries up on our website as well, in our photo gallery section, local buzz columns, lifestyle section, and all of our news and sports as well on chapelboro.com with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
744 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Terry Tyson. Who's looking out for men these days in our society? It seems that there are a few social outlets for men to just socialize with other men. I'm sure you've noticed that women can instantly talk to any other woman about any subject, no matter how personal. When I overhear them talking, it's usually about sports, money, and sports. At UNC and many other universities, the percentage of male undergraduates has dropped to close to 40%. There is a shortage of men at UNC. What's happening to these young young boys who decide not to go to college. What are they doing? There's a shortage of eligible male college graduates for all the women who wish to marry a guy with a college diploma. When I was admitted to the University of Virginia, it was only the fourth year that they allowed women to attend. Within 6 years, UVA's enrollment went from 0% female to over 50% female. A man's lifespan is 8 years shorter than a woman's. Do we understand why, and are we worried about it? There are powerful advocacy groups for every segment of our society except for men, and I'm referring to men of every race. Many problems such as imprisonment, accidents, being victims of crime, and substance abuse all are far more likely to strike men than women. Check the local crime logs. The majority are men. Shouldn't we stop alienating men and refrain from calling them names like privileged males and appreciate them for the contributions that they do make? There's room for all of us in our community. Even men. This is Terry Tyson.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
This is Richard Quinn from Fifth Season Gardening. Grow organic this spring with 100% organic seeds, plant starts, soil, and fertilizer from Fifth Season. Many of our plant starts are grown in our store. Your tomatoes will taste better than those shipped in from a commercial farm. To kick off the spring planting season, we're offering 10% off all purchases this Saturday, April 5th. Come see us on Saturday and save at Fifth Season in downtown Carrboro.
Come on down, Fifth Season. Come on down, Fifth Season. Come on down, Fifth Season. Gardening Company.
You looking to supercharge your professional development? Don't delay. Check out Leadership Chapel Hill Carrboro. This program, offered through the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber, has a 30-year track record of being the most comprehensive, exciting, and valuable program of its kind locally. This year, you're guaranteed to learn, connect, and grow alongside participants from organizations such as PTA Thrift Shop, Wells Fargo, and Durham Tech. Registration is now open online at carolinachamber.org/leadership.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Always on the go? Let the design team at Best Tile make your next remodeling project a breeze. Our personal designers are here to help make your vision a reality. No muss, no fuss. And with a huge selection from around the world, you're sure to find the perfect tile right here without having to scour the triangle. With Best Tile, you don't have to put your life on hold to make your home beautiful again. Best Tile, local store, global selection, at the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road, or find us online at besttile.com.
Oh, wow. Look at these pictures of Mom and Dad from college. Those glasses are frightening.
If you're considering LASIK surgery, check out the experienced team at the UNC Kittner Eye Center.
No kidding. Those glasses are enormous.
We offer the highest quality laser solutions and the best technology available.
Kind of makes you wonder what we'll look like when we're their age.
Call us to schedule a screening today. 30 years from now, you may very well thank us again. The UNC Kittner Eye Center. Call 919-445-2020 or visit us at unci.org.
It is time again for Traffic and Weather Together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace, not only serving fresh brewed coffee, fast, guaranteed to taste great, but also serving the best tasting fountain drinks in town made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees, guaranteed to taste great. Cruiser's, good to go. Now here's your good to go traffic with Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway still moving without any problems right now. MLK, Estes Drive, and Franklin Street following suit as well, as the traffic looking good right now. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Things moving along pretty well this morning, all in all. And WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. Savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by Executive Chef James Clark and a very talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. It's 46 degrees in Chapel Hill, 45 in Carrboro, also 45 this morning in Hillsboro. Partly sunny today, really nice day. High today about 75 or 76. Tonight we're looking at cleared skies with a low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow sunny with a high in the low 80s. 7:50 at WCHL. Good morning. I'm Ron Stutz. Time to check in with Dr. Wayne Pond. The pond is definitely not frozen this morning. How you doing this morning, big guy?
Oh, I'm just loving that forecast, my man.
Yeah, doesn't that sound great?
Oh, it does. I think that's about as early as I can remember this year. You're using the term 80s
for
the temperature.
It's amazing,
isn't
it?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's like it's time for Dr. Pond to work on a suntan and just cover your head, buddy. Cover your head.
Boy, that's a scary image. That is a scary image. All right, well, listen, Ron,
Yeah. Here
is the word of the day. You're just going to love it. Let me begin by telling you that my beloved parents grew up, met and married in Chicago, and I can remember as a kid myself hearing them talk about all the wonderful languages and cultures in the city of Big Shoulders. And my dad would come home, and he said he would regale his family with bits and pieces of Polish or Hungarian, Lithuanian, all of these different ethnicities coming together in Chicago. Well, here's a term straight out of Hungarian history. The word of the day is goulash.
I knew you were going to say that. I don't know
why. You did not.
I did not. The word popped into my mind, goulash. It's probably the only Hungarian word I would know.
Well, there it is, buddy. You got it. G-O-U-L-A-S-H. G-O-U-L-A-S-H. As I say, this comes to us from a Hungarian etymological way back in the midst of time, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about a stew. It's meat, vegetables, seasoned with paprika. But the wonderful thing here is goulash has taken on a couple of other meanings. It also denotes a mixture of disparate elements, even a hodgepodge. And believe it or not, there is a term in the game of bridge, goulash, a round played with hands produced by a rearrangement of previously dealt cards. That sounds like the radio business.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, you know, well, we're not going to tell you what we're going to give you, but we're going to ask you to give it back.
Well, I was going to say goulash is, you know, I've used my goulashes a lot this year because it's rained so much. We've had so much rain and inclement weather.
Now, but that's goulash. Goulash. Give me a break. All right, well, there's your word of the day, my man. G-O-U-L-A-S-H. Goulash, a Hungarian, a mixture of disparate elements, or a stew, or even a bridge term. So I hope you get a winner, all right?
All right, buddy. Hey, thank you so much.
You got it. Talk to you in the morning. Be a good boy. Bye.
The highly educated, highly intelligent, and highly humorous Wayne Pond. Yes, with the word of the day on WCHL. Rand Northam.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. We did just have a WCHL Road Warrior call in. I do need to let you know of a bad accident at exit 287, fire and EMS. This is on I-40, of course. Fire and EMS on the scene causing heavy delays on I-40 eastbound. We are seeing delays on I-40 westbound heading up to exit 287 as well, so be on the lookout there. But traffic really at a standstill in that area.
Wow.
If you can avoid I-40 eastbound, probably a good idea to do so. If you can get off on the 540 exit, that area is probably where you'll be able to get off best. And then make your way past the Wade Avenue exit heading that direction. So be on the lookout, thanks to a WCHL Road Warrior.
All right. Well, hey, listen, thanks for keeping us up to date on that.
Certainly.
Now back to our regular programming. The word of the day on WCHL, your opportunity to call in and tell me the word, spell it, and define it, comes up next hour on WCHL. You can win a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's 7:54. 97.9 FM, WCHL, House Ron Stutz, and look who just walked in.
Good morning, Ron.
Lauren Stafford.
How are you doing?
Every morning is a good morning when you're here.
Oh, thank you.
It's always good to see you.
I say the same thing about you. Thank goodness you're here.
You always come in with a smile on your face, whether you mean it or not.
I guess that's why I'm good at my job, right?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to be genuine. Just act like you're happy.
Exactly. Just act like you're happy, and that's all that matters.
That's right.
That's why everybody loves you, Ron.
You
always act like you're happy.
Yeah, I know. Some mornings it is an act, to tell you the truth. First thing in the morning, anyway, in the 6 o'clock hour.
But, well, good for you for holding that up that early.
I'm usually awake by now. Hey, listen, you got a good joke?
I do have a good joke.
I hope so. Man, I got my fingers crossed.
Yes, let's see. All right, so this one was sent to us by Wiley Post. So
Wiley Post?
That's right.
All right. Wiley used to do this all the time. He's taking a little break.
All right. Well,
and
he
now
said
he's back.
He did. In this email, I think the subject line was, "I'm back, and here's a great joke." So thanks to Wiley.
Well, all right.
We've
missed
him.
Wiley's a Wiley guy.
That's right. Oh, I was just waiting for you to say something along those lines. Wiley Coyote. All right. In the middle of a forest, there was a hunter who was suddenly confronted by a huge, mean bear. In his fear, all attempts to shoot the bear were unsuccessful. Finally, the hunter turned and ran as fast as he could. The hunter ran and ran and ran until he ended up at the edge of a very steep cliff. His hopes were dim. Seeing no way out of this predicament, and with the bear closing in rather quickly, the hunter got down on his knees, opened his arms, and exclaimed, "Dear God, please give this bear some religion." The skies darkened, and there was lightning in the air. Just a few feet short of the hunter, the bear came to an abrupt stop, glanced around, somewhat confused. Suddenly, the bear looked up into the sky and said, "Thank you, God, for the food I'm about to receive."
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Lee Mook is a student at Carborough High School, and he's today's WCHL hometown hero. Lee started a program called Language for Youth, and here's how it all began.
So Language for Youth started off as a pretty humble beginning, as just Chinese for Youth. And it started as just an idea I had to go to Colberth Middle School and teach Chinese language. I had seen from studying Chinese for a couple years, I'd seen that it was a very, very important thing in the world and that it would continue to be very important. And so when I saw that Chinese enrollment in my high school was smaller than I had expected for such an important language, I just wondered why was that the case. And so I realized that in our middle schools, they don't have Chinese classes. Middle schoolers don't have the opportunity to take Chinese classes, and so the first time they're getting the chance to do it is in high school. And so I wanted to change that, and so I went to Colberth Middle School last year, and I taught a Chinese class, and they really, really loved it.
Lee says he couldn't have done it all by himself. He's got other students involved, but he's also had a lot of help along the way from some of the adults, both at Carborough High School and at Colberth Middle School. And this young man really took the initiative and got it going.
No, I had a lot of help and a lot of support from Colberth Middle School. The principal there, Miss Rudolph, is very, very supportive of me. And Miss Moda, who's sitting here to my right, also very, very helpful this year, as well as a lot of help from my teachers at Carborough. I had a lot of support getting it started. Now, there's a lot of educators who want students to be involved in the world and to take languages and to be involved in their own learning and bettering themselves. And so they were very, very supportive of this program. And I could not have done it without them.
By reaching out to these younger kids, Lee Mook has really made a difference.
I think it's amazing what this program has done. We've really tried to figure out, how do we get kids interested in a subject? How do you get kids to want to learn? And so what we've done, we tried to make classes fun, interactive, have high schoolers, kids only a couple years older than the Colberth students come in and teach. And we've really seen the Colberth students love it, and I think that's what I attribute to its success, is the people involved and the motivation the students bring to the Colberth students bring, and actually Carborough High School students. The teachers are really amazing.
The program is called Language for Youth because of Lee Mook. It's a reality. Here's hoping it can continue in the future and maybe even spread to other schools. Lee Mook, today's WCHL hometown
Performance
hero.
Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
46 degrees right now, partly sunny skies. Look for a high today in the middle 70s. And if you think that's nice, wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be in the low 80s.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Carolina basketball.
Alley-oop to McAdoo!
On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
GM's CEO faces recall questions.